It's January 2020, and an Amazon retail employee is at his computer studying purchasing trends at headquarters in Seattle. Suddenly, an alert pops up on his screen.
That's weird.
His colleague, sitting next to him, leans over to peek at his screen.
What's up?
The algorithm, it's picking up a spike in searches for face masks and hand sanitizer.
This algorithm is like the beating heart of Amazon. If there's an uptick in demand on anything, it'll show up here. And right now, the spike in demand for masks, toilet paper, and sanitizer is signaling a coming heart attack.
Do you think people are getting all worked up about that virus in China?
Could be.
I haven't followed it that closely, but if people are searching for these supplies, then they're worried. You think it's really going to be that big a deal?
Her coworker nods. There's been chatter of a pandemic ever since the new coronavirus was reported in Wuhan, China. But there are only a few cases in the U.S. right now. To the employee, this seems like an overreaction. Still,
we should probably check to see if there's a policy on what to do if a pandemic hits.
The two colleagues search through Amazon's emergency response procedures.
I'm seeing local fires, floods, earthquakes. Hey, check this out. Did you know that all the top execs carry satellite phones to keep operations going if the cell networks go down? But nothing about a pandemic.
Seriously? Nothing?
His stomach sinks. He has a bad feeling about this. His colleague looks at him, a slightly scared look on her face.
I can't believe this.
As bad as it looks now, they have no idea how ugly it will get. This pandemic will quickly develop into an event that seems both right out of the history books and a futuristic horror movie. Neither Walmart nor Amazon planned for this pandemic. And because of that, there will be chaos at this epic moment that will frustrate customers and infuriate workers, making both companies the target of America's fear and anger. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. On our last episode, Amazon moved big into fresh food, purchasing the organic grocery store chain Whole Foods. It was a rough start, but Amazon offered incentives that brought in more customers. Groceries were always the bait to draw shoppers into Walmart so they'd buy other merchandise once in the store. Now, Walmart wants to merge its online and offline business by allowing customers to order online and then pick up merchandise in person. As 2020 begins, business is good for both companies. But a potent virus in China will take root in the United States faster than the public realizes. And once the public catches on, panic will spread. And when that happens, Amazon and Walmart's infrastructure and supply chains will undergo the ultimate stress test, one that will lay bare both their strengths and vulnerabilities and have stark implications for their future. This is Episode 6, The Stealth Enemy. It's January 29th, and Walmart rolls out its first ever Super Bowl ad. Chock full of pop culture references from Toy Story to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, it promotes the store's online order and grocery pickup service as the wave of the future. At this particular moment in the country, nothing seems amiss.
Whoa! Is this the future?
This is the present future, Bill.
Here's your order, Bills.
Excellent!
Yes, O'Toole, I am quite aware we are lost.
And for a few brief shining weeks early in the new year, Walmart's future looks bright. So do things for Amazon. But on March 11th, 2020, the anchor for Fox News breaks from the normal broadcast to read something from her phone to the audience. The expression on her face conveys the seriousness of the moment.
All right, we have breaking news now. Let's get to it. It has to do with COVID-19. And the World Health Organization has just declared a global coronavirus. It is a pandemic at this point. It implies efforts to contain it.
By the time the World Health Organization makes this call, the city of Wuhan is under total lockdown. Italy's healthcare system is crumbling under the onslaught of new cases. It's been over 100 years since the world has faced a pandemic of this scale. On March 15th, California Governor Gavin Newsom imposes social distancing and urges people to stay home as much as possible. Soon, other governors will follow suit. While scientists, federal officials, and governors squabble over how to respond, U.S. consumers know exactly what to do. They go shopping. But in some places, that's becoming a contact event. In Burbank, California, a woman named Jane is shopping at the Walmart Supercenter. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday, but the store is packed. People are grabbing whatever food they can. But the real action is in the aisles stocking hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and paper towels. The aisles are jammed, and people's carts occasionally bang into each other like bumper cars. Shoppers nudge each other aside to get at supplies, sniping at those who seem to be hoarding. The checkout lines are running 20 people deep each, their baskets heaped with goods. The carts and baskets have run out, so Jane lugs her food in her own reusable bags as she weaves through the crowd. She made a list, but she feels anxiety rising as she watches customers clearing shelves. In front of her, workers block an aisle to restock. This makes customers angry.
He's unpacking Lysol down there. I need that.
Hey, you gotta let us through.
The crowd surges forward, but the workers hold them back.
Hold on, hold on. Back off. You have to let us restock. We'll let you in as soon as
we
can.
This is BS. Let us in.
Yeah, let us in.
Jane watches in shock as desperate customers push past the workers. She feels like she's in a zombie movie. Jane's husband, Denny, comes around the corner carrying 2 jars of spaghetti sauce.
It was a battle, but your hero has returned triumphant. I have no idea what brand they are. I just grabbed the first 2 I could. We're lucky I'm tall. I just reached right over the woman in front of me. So what else do we need?
Frozen vegetables. I don't want to be the idiot that dies of scurvy in quarantine.
They head to the frozen food aisle. Denny reaches into the case and pulls out the few remaining packages.
Pearl onions and lima beans. Guess we know what vegetables people don't want, even in a pandemic.
He looks at Jane and realizes she's not enjoying his banter. In fact, she looks like she's going to cry.
Babe, it's going to be okay. Let's just go home and order anything we couldn't get here on Amazon.
A woman standing nearby overhears him.
Good luck with that. I tried to order groceries from him, and half of what I wanted was out of stock and nothing could be delivered until next week.
And hand sanitizer was going for $several hundred.
The unprecedented surge in buying at both Amazon and Walmart
snaps the company's carefully calibrated, just-in-time supply chain. It's designed to cut down on warehouse costs by stocking just what customers are buying. But sales are soaring by 35% at Amazon and 20% at Walmart. And online groceries at both companies are booming. But the system is groaning under the demand. MSNBC announces Amazon is forced to take drastic action to keep up.
Empty store shelves have led to a massive surge in Amazon orders for grocery items, cleaning products, and basic staples. To keep up, the company announced it is hiring 100,000 new distribution workers. Amazon is temporarily closing a New York delivery station after one of its workers tested positive for the virus.
This goes against everything we've ever tried to do, but I don't see another way.
It's March 2020, and Amazon's executives are having an all-hands-on-deck meeting. Their warehouses are overwhelmed. Workers are calling in sick or are refusing to come in because they're afraid of getting the virus.
We need to deprioritize anything that isn't an essential item. Food, cleaning supplies, health products.
I agree, but if we start limiting what we ship, that'll leave other businesses to fill our void.
They're in a quandary. Not only do they have to hire more workers fast, but if they focus on restocking and shipping essentials, they'll have to divert resources away from other products. And that means Amazon will fail to deliver on their promise of one-day shipping for Prime members, which is key to their success.
It's just temporary. We'll get back on track. But if we can't get people the essentials in a timely manner, they're going to cancel their Prime memberships and go elsewhere. And once they establish that habit...
All right. Let's announce it. We're not taking non-essential shipments right now.
Faced with its biggest test yet, Amazon is showing signs of strain. And Walmart is not faring much better. Walmart has 16 stores in Wuhan, China. Even though they should have been ahead of the curve, Walmart was still caught flat-footed in the U.S. Like Amazon, they don't have a disaster plan for dealing with the strain on the supply chain or on their workers. It's March 23rd, 2020, and Wando Evans is working his usual overnight shift in the Evergreen Park Walmart Supercenter outside Chicago. He's 51 years old, and he's been with Walmart for 15 years. Evans is a good worker, but tonight he's dragging. His head hurts. He's exhausted. His chest feels tight when he takes a deep breath. He knows he looks ill. He'd expected that his boss would send him home when he showed up, but his manager just looked the other way. He's never done this before, but he needs to cut his shift short. He finds his supervisor.
Hey, man, I'm not feeling well. I need to go home.
Look, we're slammed. I really need you to stick it out.
Evans takes a deep breath, wincing as his lungs tighten.
I really don't think I can, man.
All right. Do what you gotta do.
Evans nods and heads back to clock out. Another employee standing nearby has overheard the exchange. She approaches the supervisor.
Is he sick?
Maybe. I don't know.
Could we get some gloves or masks then, you know, just in case?
Well, I would if I could, but we don't have any more. Not yet.
48 hours later, Evans will be found dead in his home from COVID-19. Several days later, a second worker from the same Walmart also dies from the virus. Amazon is also having trouble adequately protecting its workers and is facing a backlash. It's March 25th, 2020 in Staten Island, New York, and Christian Smalls is on a mission. After working in Amazon warehouses for years, he's outraged by their handling of the coronavirus. Last night, a colleague posted that there was a confirmed case of COVID-19 at his facility known as JFK 8. Today, the warehouse is still open, and little has changed. He and a group of his coworkers have had enough. They march straight into management's office. It's not the first time Small has been in this office begging for his supervisors to do more to protect the workers. But this time, he's there with a group. The managers are in a meeting. They look up in surprise as Small bursts in, a cadre of workers behind him.
Christian, we're in the middle of something. We can schedule a time if you want to come back and chat.
No, we're doing this now. How many cases of COVID-19 are there in this facility? Now, I know there's at least one, and I sent Barbara home yesterday because she looks severely ill. So how many more are there?
Now, wait a minute. When we have confirmation of cases, we will inform people who have had contact with the infected person, okay? We can't do more than that without jeopardizing the privacy of our workers.
Another worker speaks up behind Christian.
What about jeopardizing our safety? The safety of our families? You're putting them at risk so the company can make an extra dollar.
Look, this is complicated. Not only do we have to look after the workforce, but provide the country with critical infrastructure to supply the public. We have to be in business. We have to operate. And we are following CDC guidelines, okay? We separated the tables in the break room. We're encouraging social distancing.
That's great. But what about when we're on the floor? We're working shoulder to shoulder, man. We're sharing equipment. There are confirmed cases in this building.
You need to shut it down and clean it up and figure out ways to keep us safe.
That's not our call. It's up to headquarters if we shut down. Besides, we raise pay. We're providing sick leave if you get diagnosed to have to quarantine. We're doing the best we can.
Small shakes his head, furious.
That's not good enough.
Smalls and his group of workers leave the room, frustrated. For the rest of the week, Smalls returns to the building every day, but he doesn't clock in. Instead, he spends his time talking to workers and pressuring management.
They give us 2 weeks paid time off if we test positive, but they let the workers come in while they're waiting for their test results. That's crazy.
On Saturday, a supervisor approaches Smalls.
Christian, can I have a word?
Smalls gets up and follows the supervisor to the corner of the room, away from the other workers. The supervisor clears her throat.
We've been informed that a person you worked with on March 24th has tested positive for COVID-19. You need to immediately leave the building and quarantine yourself.
Smalls immediately knows who she's talking about. On March 24th, he told a fellow assistant manager, Barbara Chandler, that she was looking ill and should go home. He also knows she interacted with dozens of other people. As he looks around, he sees some of them working on the floor.
What about all the other people she worked with? I can think of about 40 people who should be in quarantine right now. You sending them home too?
We're analyzing the videos of the day in question for who she came in contact with and for how long. We will take further actions based on what we see.
Smalls interprets that to mean no. He shakes his head, frustrated.
This is retaliation.
He leaves the building angrily. Amazon may be trying to shut him up, but Smalls isn't going to sit back and take it. He wants Amazon to hurt, and he knows just how to make that happen.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, You deal with one vendor, with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you gotta check out Zoho One. At zoho.one, that's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps, you're licensing peace of mind.
It's noon on March 30th, 2020, and dozens of workers at JFK 8, Christian Small's warehouse facility on Staten Island, have just walked off the job. They wear masks over their faces and hold up signs. One says, "Alexa, send us home." Another says, "It's difficult to close a business for 3 to 4 weeks, but it's more difficult to close a casket of a loved one for an entire life."
Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down!
Smalls meets them outside, careful to maintain a distance of 6 feet. One of the protesters hands out a statement to a group of reporters.
"People are losing their lives to this pandemic, and Amazon is not taking it seriously. Workers' lives are on the line."
The next day, workers at a warehouse facility outside Detroit walk off the job. At Whole Foods, employees are angry that they're being told not to wear masks because it scares customers. Whole Foods employees across the country stage a sick out. Amazon needs to find a way to answer their employees' demands. At JFK 8, the top Amazon executives are having their daily meeting. They're finally offering sick leave for warehouse workers, but it's not enough. They fired Christian Smalls, arguing that he had violated quarantine, but the press and politicians are not buying it. Bezos listens as the team discusses.
"We need a response. Our usual focus on how we're protecting workers is not cutting it."
David Zapolsky, the company's general counsel, leans forward. He has an idea.
"I say we make this Christian Smalls guy the face of the whole unionization movement. He's not smart. He's not articulate. So we can use him to discredit the whole movement. You know, we push hard on the fact that his violation of quarantine was immoral, unacceptable, and arguably illegal. And then we push on how we're protecting workers."
It's an aggressive stance. But eventually, the room is swayed by Zapolsky.
"Are we in agreement on that?" "Great. Let's switch over to discussing some different and bold ways we can give away our stockpile of masks. What will generate the biggest PR win for us? Anyone?"
As news of the company's response makes its way to lower-level executives, an internal backlash brews. Zapolsky's memo gets leaked to the press, and hundreds of white-collar workers sign a petition demanding the company provide more protection to its warehouse workers. Senators Sherrod Brown of Ohio and Cory Booker of New Jersey, among others, call for an investigation into the firing. And New York's Attorney General notifies Amazon that its firing of Smalls may have violated the state's whistleblower laws. It's April 2nd, 2020, and Tony Evans, Wando Evans' brother, is leaving yet another message for Wando's manager at the Walmart Supercenter in Evergreen Park, 15 miles south of Chicago.
Hi, this is Tony Evans again. If you could please call me back, I'm really hoping Walmart could help cover the burial costs for my brother, Wando. I know there's an emergency relief fund for workers, and if you could help me get access to that, I really want to give my brother a proper burial. Please?
He hangs up the phone. This is his fifth message. Tony is furious. His brother worked for Walmart for 15 years. He deserved better from Walmart. Frustrated, he texts a friend, updating him that Walmart still hasn't responded to any of his calls. He doesn't know what to do. Moments later, his friend calls him back. He doesn't waste time with chit-chat.
"I think you should sue him."
For what?
"Wrongful death, that's what. They should have protected him. I know a lawyer."
On April 6th, Tony Evans filed suit against Walmart for failing to take precautions to protect his brother and its other employees. By April 18th, 18 Walmart workers have died from the virus, and nearly 2,000 workers have tested positive for it. 10% of its workforce is taking advantage of the company's new leave policy, which allows employees to take time off if they don't feel comfortable working. The company is struggling to staff their stores and warehouses, aiming to hire 5,000 people a day, but they're still having difficulty meeting demand, and customers are starting to look elsewhere. It's April 19th, 2020, and Jane has just found the mother lode. The news of worker illness has kept her from going back to Walmart, and she gave up on Amazon when a delivery they promised never came. She started to get creative about where she shops. Her husband, Denny, hears her excited yelp and comes scampering into the living room.
You found flour?
Yes, and a bunch of other food we need. That market down the block still has a lot of inventory. They don't have online ordering set up, but I'm texting our list to the owner. He'll call if he doesn't have something and go over possible substitutes. He'll text when it's ready, and we can drive over, and he'll put it right in our truck.
Oh, wow, that's great. What personal service.
Right? I feel bad we never went there before. The prices are a little higher than we usually pay, but it's worth it.
Totally worth it.
Other businesses are also coming back from the dead, including one that was Bezos' very first target, booksellers. Before the pandemic, Bookshop.org and Simon & Schuster partnered to compete with Amazon. Its revenues have soared since Americans were forced to stay at home, from $50,000 in January to $4.5 million in March. Amazon and Walmart changed the world with their focus on convenience and low costs, and their vaunted infrastructure was crucial as millions of Americans were forced to stay home. As the nation faces an unprecedented crisis, it's hard to know how customers will respond, what new habits will stick. Will Amazon and Walmart's treatment of their workers come back to haunt them? Or will the economy be so devastated that Amazon and Walmart end up controlling an even higher percentage of retail than they already do? There are still battles to fight. Convenience will always drive sales, and Amazon and Walmart will continue to try to make shopping as convenient as possible. Both companies have announced they're experimenting with using drones to deliver packages. They've started to roll out services where delivery workers can enter a customer's house when no one is home to place groceries directly into the fridge. Whoever wins these races will have a distinct advantage as America recovers. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, this is Business Wars. A quick note about the conversations in this episode. We can't know exactly what was said at the time, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Austin Rackless wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor, produced by Emily Frost. Sound design by Kyle Randall. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman and Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.